welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here with Alex King on this Thursday, November the 7th, 2019. It is 4 p.m. in New York, 1 p.m. in Los Angeles, 9 p.m. in London, 6 a.m. in Tokyo, and 8 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, I found out after checking times online. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And as usual, Alex is getting me off to a happy start by mimicking me as I'm doing the intro. You know, so that just kind of sets the tone for the entire conversation.
I'm just used to it.
Well, you do it very well. I should have you do it sometime. People will freak out, but
no, I can't do the time zones.
I can't do the time zones. I keep getting them wrong. I had to go check them online. I found out I was doing
Oh, yeah, wrong. Daylight savings. Yeah.
Daylight savings, yeah. And not everybody does daylight savings. Some time zones do it. Some time zones don't.
It's really messing with me in Japan Gen right now.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys talk pretty regularly, so I mean,
yeah, we do.
I would have thought you had it figured out, but I guess it could even screw you
up. Well, we do when we're 13 hours apart, but 14 hours apart is a whole other ballgame.
Well, I'm confident you will get it all figured out. Maybe I gave you a clue just by telling you about the change in time zone.
Well, no, I knew about the change in time zone, which is why I was like, why is she calling me at 4 a.m.? Because she just got out of work. That's why.
Okay. All right. Well, makes sense. So anyway, I asked you before the show what topic you had in mind, because you always come up with a good topic for us. You had a really interesting one. Where did this one come from, and tell us what it is?
This one came from a post. Obviously, in the Law of Attraction Changed My Life group. It was a random post that you don't usually see in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not even touching this one.
So you figured you'd bring it to us instead. Okay.
Yeah.
A real challenge going on here.
Uh-huh.
All right. So tell us about it.
It was a post. It was very messy. It was my type of post. Like, I like messy situations, especially on my reality show. So it was a reality show post for me. And this person, I'm going to assume it's a woman because she said she was pregnant. She's 42. And the baby's father wants nothing to do with her. And now her boyfriend wants nothing to do with her. Mm. And I'm like, wait, how did that happen? How do you have? First of all, that situation right there is the reason you're in this whole situation by itself.
This is true.
And now she's like, I just want to die. I don't know what to do. Oh. I was like, not 10-foot pole. Nope.
Yeah. So what's the question then?
That's it. That's the thing. There was no question.
That happens a lot.
It does. It does.
I think what's happening.
Oh no! I'm sorry. There was a question. It was how do I change my situation?
Oh well, that's easy. You don't even. That doesn't take any thought at all. It's really, really well. It does take.
I'm really
literally. It does
this.
Take thought, but on her behalf, she's the one who has to do the thinking.
Yeah.
But literally, she has to change her thought pattern.
No one was thinking of that. They were all like, well, you can put the baby up for adoption and, you know, work things out. And they're like doing the physical work. They're not thinking, okay, let's take baby steps and change our thought process first.
And that's just it. I mean, so often we get caught up in the externality, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the idea that it's the outside part that's controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that we've all learned that it all started internally with our own thought process, the first place we go is outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of understandable when you're in a really bad place, and she sounds like she's in a really, really bad place.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be the first thing to do, because the last thing you really want to do when you're in that bad place is to say, oh, darn, I did this again, huh? That's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard one to
Sure is. That's a hard pill to swallow.
It is. It's very difficult. Especially if you're in pain, mm-hmm. or suffering in some way,
mm-hmm.
it's a real challenge. That's why therapists get paid for what they do, to help people
navigate
that kind of really unpleasant channel to be in. And yet, ultimately, the answer to the question is exactly that. You have to change your thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, I mean, just the situation that she found herself in, there's an ex-husband, there's a boyfriend, neither of them want to acknowledge a baby that she is now pregnant with. There's a whole thing going on there that led up to this entire situation right now. And it didn't appear out of thin air.
No, she was definitely sowing the seed a long time ago.
Yeah.
The fact that you have a baby daddy and a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and they're not the same person.
Yeah.
Something going on there.
Something.
Yeah.
And
right there, that's where it started.
We have to know what it is.
I don't need to know what it is.
We have enough information to know that it's there, whatever it
yep.
is. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to know anything more about the details of it. The important thing to recognize, though, is that she's been focusing on that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In various ways.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to our character Nance in The Grass is Greener, because Nance, we haven't really delved into that side of it yet with the dialogue, but very clearly Nance has been really focused on attracting men who are not terribly deep. For lack of a
Which is sad for Nance at 30 whatever, but this lady's 42, where lessons should have been learned at this point.
Well, theoretically, they should have been learned by 30-something.
Facts. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, so it just becomes more painful as time goes on. But simple truth is, well, first of all, there aren't a whole lot of people around the world who know what we talk about here anyway. I mean, just even here in the U.S., we have probably the largest percentage of the population compared to other populations around the world. And here it's maybe like 10 to 15% of the population who know what LOA is and how it works, or even to some degree how it works. Now, there are other countries where the percentages are even lower than that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that means there's the vast majority of people around the planet don't even understand how this stuff works.
Facts.
You know, so you're basically talking about people who are kind of flying blind all the time, which is what we've been doing. I mean, our entire species has been flying blind for millennia now.
Yeah. I don't know how we made it this far.
It's incredible, isn't it? Well, actually, we do know how we got here this far. We got there because, to some extent, many of us have managed, despite not being taught it, we've managed to dig deep and look inside, connect to what's going on internally, and pick up clues and pick up information. And, you know, you do that often enough, and you're going to get enough to work with, you know, even if you don't understand what the process is. But so many of us don't do that. That's where the externalizing comes in. We look outside of ourselves. We do a lot of finger pointing.
Yep.
We do a lot of blaming.
Yep.
Although when we get into a place like she's in right now, she's in a really painful place. So blaming probably isn't on her agenda right now, because there's a piece of her that knows that if she starts blaming, the blame is also going to come back at her.
Every finger you point, there's three pointing back at you.
Yeah. So she's not going to go there with the blame thing. But she's probably there with the
guilt. She might be there with the blame thing, but just not posting it because she knows what she's going to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I like, sis.
Yeah. I wouldn't even be surprised if she was actually getting that from some of the commenters, too.
I agree. I didn't read through the comments to find out, but I think I will go back and do it.
I wouldn't blame you for that. I wouldn't blame you for anything. But
just for the tea.
Just for the tea. I wanted to ask you about that. You wrote that line, give me all the tea, into the second episode script. I don't even know what that phrase comes from. What does that give me all the tea mean?
It's a Southern thing. It's basically like when women get together and they have tea and
like
they
tea
and
party.
They okay. Yeah, like a tea party, and that's when all the gossip comes out.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it turned into give me all the tea, which means, you know, spill the tea, tell me all the secrets.
I knew that it was a good thing not to go to those tea parties when I lived in Virginia.
You would have had all the info. Yeah,
much more than I would have wanted.
Right? I could see Walt going, well, not only is there no sugar, but I do not prefer this.
That's actually the new and improved Walt who would have said that. The old Walt would have said something profane, but...
Oh my god!
Yeah, but I feel for her. She put herself into a tough spot, a really tough spot. And the only if I was talking to her, I wouldn't leave a comment on something like that one.
I would definitely personally say something.
That's a personal conversation thing.
Yeah,
an offline one too. Now
I wouldn't even be bold if I was in that situation. I wouldn't even be bold enough to post my business out there like that on a group like that.
Which. I mean, that's a whole conversation in itself. You know, why does somebody post like that? I think it all adds up to she's in so much pain, she'll reach anywhere for help right now.
Yeah, true. Because that's not even the type of group that this is, but okay.
No. And yet we see a lot of it.
Not everyone has a Lexi, so.
That's right. Not everyone has a Lexi. Not everyone is a Lexi, for that matter.
Facts.
But... I think it kind of explains why she's posting that way. But if it was a private conversation that I was having with her I imagine it's fairly similar to what would happen if you were having that conversation with her, considering you play Lexi, after all, and you wrote Lexi.
Yes. I mean, I just wrote about myself. That's all I did.
It was actually probably the easiest part of the script. But
you'd think so, wouldn't you? It's not.
No?
No, it's not as easy, because I'm like, okay, what would I say in this situation? But it's at the same time, you had to play up the drama to keep people entertained.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Like, I can't just be dropping truth bombs every 5 seconds. Like,
yeah, that doesn't quite work. Yeah, yeah. Not if you want to keep people listening.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is ironically the way it also works with somebody who's in pain.
Yeah, you got to keep them here.
Yeah, you got to kind of string them along a little bit, mm-hmm. because otherwise they'll push back and pull away and the conversation's over.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But if I was to kind of finish the thought that I stopped putting out earlier, if I'm having a private conversation with her, first of all, I think I would ask for a few of the details to kind of mm-hmm. fill in the picture mm-hmm. a little bit, just to give myself, not so much because I need to know the picture, but because I find that when I know more of the details, it makes it easier to explain things in concrete terms.
You know?
So otherwise you're doing a lot of hypotheticals, and hypotheticals get kind of, you know, tongue trippy.
Yeah, it can get messy. Yeah.
Pretty quickly. So I get a few of the fundamental pieces of the puzzle to make it easier to talk about it person mm-hmm. to person. And then after I had that, I think I just asked her a really simple question. What do you want right now?
Right.
Because so often we get into a place like that and we forget what it is we want. The only thing we know is what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, people who post these things, I'm sure this was true in her case also, the entire post is all the stuff that they don't want.
I can't even say that. She was just literally just explaining. No, you're right. Towards the end, she was like, yeah, she was like, I don't want this. I don't want to deal with this. And I'm like, but this is...
The first half was itemizing all those things.
Yeah.
Say mm-hmm. later on that she didn't want them. So really the whole thing was about what she didn't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
You know, if she had taken any time to put out what it is that she liked or preferred mm-hmm. or wanted, mm-hmm. it would have been an entirely different post, first of all.
Sure, would have.
You know, and secondly, it would make it a whole lot easier for her... supporters in the group who are trying to give her advice, to give her advice that would actually be coherent,
mm-hmm.
apply to the case.
Yeah.
I think that's actually the biggest mistake people make when they comment. They don't actually ask themselves, what does the person want?
True. Very true.
They gotta find that out. I mean, they gotta find that out. If they can't answer it, how the heck are you gonna answer it?
Right.
I mean, we often do this. We often assume
mm-hmm.
that we know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But we do it based on our own values, on our own preferences.
Yes, and you can't do that.
You can't, because there's no mm-hmm. way that you know that that's the case.
I mean, that's why you need all the deets, so you can put yourself in that person's shoes and give the correct advice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In my case, I may have my own preference might have been, well, I want to ditch the two entirely and figure out some way to pay for my unborn child's upbringing and health and food and all that kind of thing.
Right.
But that may not be her priority at all.
Mm-hmm.
Her priority may be she wants to get the husband back, or she wants to get the
there is no husband
back, or the ex-husband, or whatever.
Nope. Baby daddy and boyfriend.
Well, it's a baby daddy and boyfriend. Okay.
So I'm assuming two. I don't know if she has a previous child by this baby's father, or if it was two boyfriends and now she's pregnant by one.
Well, I hope it'd be by one. Otherwise, you've got a strange case of fraternal twins.
I mean, it's happened before.
It has. Yes. But if it's the, well, either case, whether she's trying to attract back the baby's daddy or the current boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
or some combination of the two, you can't even rule that one out.
You sure can. It's 2019.
That's right.
I mean, if they were in that situation in the first place, who knows what their system is?
It was true in 1929, too. I mean, this has been around for a long time. But, you know, you can't really assume
that no, you
know
can't.
What it is that she wants. So,
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she probably doesn't even know at this point.
No, I don't think so.
Because when you get to that place, I mean, she's mm-hmm. basically trapped herself every way you can possibly trap yourself in a situation mm-hmm. like that. You've been spending all your time focused on what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she'd probably be really reaching to try to remember what was the last thing she focused on that she liked.
Yeah, agreed.
I imagine her mind would go blank.
Right?
Yeah. I don't even mean that as a joke. I mean that literally. She just couldn't even think of it.
I mean, she probably, I'm not saying probably, in her post, she put that the boyfriend wants nothing romantic with her. And I'm like, so how is he your boyfriend?
Yeah, I thought there was that too.
So I'm assuming that was the last thing she wanted. That didn't work out.
Doesn't mean that's what she wants now. That's the other thing to understand about desire.
Oh, yeah, wanting changes from second to second. So.
It really does, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why it's so important to keep up with it, mm-hmm. to notice the changes, to notice yeah. when you've shifted.
Shifting. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Hashtag.
Hashtag shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we've all been in that kind of a place, not that particular situation, but a place
I was going
like
to say
that.
Who?
but a place that painful, a place where you feel that trapped. I think we've all been in that kind of a situation
yep.
at one point or another in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not too difficult to appreciate, you know, how painful it is for her.
Right.
And I'm sure it's extraordinarily painful.
Mm-hmm.
The harder thing, obviously, though, is like we said before, is basically, can she find a way to acknowledge she attracted all of it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, without
I mean,
her
she focus. Definitely did. Like, you had two boyfriends. Mm. Now you're pregnant at 42.
Yeah.
There was a lot of little steps you missed along the way, ma'am.
Yeah, like at least 20 plus years worth.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. At least.
Yeah, because these are not patterns that emerge at age 39.
New.
No.
New.
Sadly.
No.
And there are people who will argue, I think with some reasonableness,
mm-hmm.
that when someone keeps repeating the same pattern, a particularly destructive pattern, over and over again, it's because they really need to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is important for her to learn this.
I agree.
You know?
This is the 2x4.
Yeah, with a spike.
Mm-hmm.
And they hurt.
Yeah, they do. A little
they
bit.
Hurt a lot. A
little bit. Not just a tickle.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, I think that's where I would start. And after that, I don't think I'd even go any further than that.
Yeah, because I feel like when situations like this happen and I end up giving the advice I give, people want to be my friends. And I'm like, well, I was just being nice. I have enough friends. Thank you, no thank you. I got enough people to keep track of. Like, I'm a pretty busy lady.
I hear you. Yeah. If all we did was just ask her the question and get her to focus on what is it that I like, what is it that I prefer,
mm-hmm.
that alone would change things.
Yeah, it would change her whole
mindset.
No matter
what the result
is. She might see the situation in a whole different light.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter what her answer is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Her answer could even be to keep things the way they are right now. And that alone would create a shift.
As long as she's feeling better about it, that's all that matters.
But that's just it. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden, if she takes the current situation, she's mm-hmm. in, she says, you know what, I like the situation, and
yeah.
starts feeling better about it, it mm-hmm. starts playing out differently.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So that's really the most important thing for her. She's got to decide what it is she likes. What is she
yes.
wants? What does she prefer?
Yes.
What does she really desire here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not in terms of what she doesn't like.
Yeah.
Because that's where we all trip up.
Right.
We all end up in that place of, well, what I want is to not feel this. What I want is to not experience that.
And that's when I refer everyone to the restaurant menu theory.
Ah.
Which means when you go to a restaurant and you order your food, you don't sit there and tell the waiter or waitress everything on the menu that you don't want. You just pick out what you do want and that's your order.
Or you do perhaps go through that way and you lose the waiter.
Yeah, because they don't have time for this. It's like, I don't want the broccoli. I don't want the carrots. Well, what do you want, sir? Because I don't have all day.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because that little analogy of ordering off the menu, it does have a waiter in that analogy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the waiter in this analogy is all the people responding with their comments in the post.
Yes, yes. The analogy works in all mysterious ways.
So what we have then are a whole bunch of waiters who are recording notes about the order without knowing what the order is.
Mm-hmm. And then taking it back to the chef, like...
And the chef is saying, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
Go back there and get a real order, will you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, how did we do? Do you think we answered her plea for help?
I hope so. I hope she's listening. Or someone who responded is listening and decides to say, hey, go listen to this because they're talking about your situation. You might want to eavesdrop real quick.
The key word there being listen.
Mm.
That's a funny thing. I don't mean the ha-ha funny. It's a funny thing that when we're in pain, we don't listen real well.
I was having this discussion the other day with boyfriend. I said, you hear me, but you don't listen. There's two different things.
Because listening requires processing.
Yes. Processing and results.
Well, results, as far as I'm concerned, is like a cherry on top. If I can get processing, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, I like all the cherries. Maraschino, all of them.
Cherries.
So, yes, I want results. That proves to me that you're listening.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit more forgiving on that. I don't know.
I am forgiving at the same time, but I'm not putting a time limit on anything.
Mm.
Like, you can listen at your own pace, but at the same time, if I have to tell you three times...
But you never have to tell somebody three times. You choose to the second and third time.
That's true.
You know, so that's on you. The first time was the one they asked for. After that, it's all you.
Yeah, you're right. It's mainly me saying something once and then not setting my boundaries after that.
Boundaries in what sense?
For instance, I'm allergic to cats, highly allergic. He has cats. Like,
remind me not to invite you over to my house.
I've already said I'm not coming over, but that was me putting out my boundaries.
Okay.
So, if I come to Connecticut, we're going out to eat.
That's fine.
Yeah. but yeah, he has cats, and we always want to spend time together, which is fine, but like, he's like, so we'll come over, and I'm like, bro, I'm not about to sit there in your cat haven for hours on end. Like, there's a lot of cats. Like, he had two cats that had kittens.
Oh, yeah.
So it's literally a zoo up in there.
You have a brood there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a brood a litter ago. Now there's two litters.
Uh-huh. So it's Cat City.
It's definitely Cat City. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. So I give myself limits. I'm like, all right, I will do an hour. And then he's like, oh, you're going home? Oh, my God. I'm like, but you can come to my house, too. We live down the street from each other. It's okay. And there's no cats at my house. You're fine. He's like, well, I'm allergic to dogs. Clearly you're not. You're just trying to even the playing field. That's okay, though. I see your game.
I don't know if I even dare to say this, but I'm going to try anyway.
Do it.
I'm trying to find the softest, gentlest way to bring this
up. There's no such thing.
Well, yeah, there is. Because basically what it comes down to is how much empathy do you have for the person.
Oh, see, and this is what I'm saying in my life, I'll say that.
Well, I know you don't have any empathy, I can tell.
Nope. Although a friend of mine told me I have empathy, I don't have sympathy. That's the difference. Or maybe it's the other way around.
I grant that there is a difference between empathy and sympathy.
Yeah. I have one of them. I forget which one it was. That's what she said.
I would guess that empathy would be yours.
Okay.
Because empathy is being able to feel what the other person is feeling, whereas sympathy is feeling what they're feeling as they're feeling it.
Okay, then it's empathy and not sympathy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if it's sympathetic, it means, I'm feeling your pain right now.
Yeah, no. No.
And I'm capable of doing both, but I agree with you. I try not to turn on the sympathy.
Right. Because what good does that do?
It just poisons yourself.
Right.
That's all it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sympathy is overrated. It's good. There are times when it's useful. I don't want usually at the beginning of a conversation, you know, I got myself in this bad situation, feel sympathetic for a moment, just to let them know, oh, yeah, I'm feeling that for you, and then turn it off.
Yeah, I don't have that button.
Try it. You'll like it.
There's no on button for my symbol. Or if there is, I don't know where it is. Someone needs to tell me. I mean, I don't know.
Actually, I think you do use it. You just don't they don't give it a lot of credit.
No, I noticed when I was sitting in the car with my mom and she was talking to a friend who was telling a really sad story. And I was like, I was just sitting there. My mom's just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm just like, I never say that in conversation. And I'm just like, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
That's right.
I clearly don't get it from my mother. So I was like, I don't know what happened.
Well, it's almost a throwaway phrase, really.
Yeah, but when my mom says it, she really feels it.
Okay. Well, so she's
got
some boundary issues.
I don't have that wiring. Oh, yeah, she does. I keep telling her. I was like, you need to stop trying to save the world.
The hardest part of that phrase, mm-hmm. trying to save the world, is coming to terms with the fact that the world doesn't want to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
It's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of undermines the whole purpose for saving the world in the first place.
Right.
You know?
It's like, why are you doing the most for someone who doesn't appreciate it?
It isn't even a question of appreciation. They just don't even desire it.
Mm. If they desired it, they go out and get it for themselves.
What was the movie? There was some movie. Oh, I know. The movie The Celestine Prophecy.
I knew it was a movie I wouldn't know.
Which is it's a movie that was based on a book. And it's kind of spiritual in nature. Has some sort of LOA-ish themes in it and so forth. It's
What's it
bad.
Called?
The Celestine Prophecy. C-E-L-E-S-T-I-N-E Prophecy. The book came out in the 1990s. The film came out in the early 2000s. And, you know, it's interesting. It definitely has some LOA themes in it. It's not the greatest movie of all time by any stretch of the imagination.
I would have seen it.
It's not terrible. It's like, yeah, it's like one of those in-between movies. It's
okay.
It's certainly not, you know, full of death and destruction. So from that perspective, it's actually pretty good. You know,
overrated.
But my point is that if you go to RottenTomatoes.com, you'll find mm-hmm. that the rating's like around 53%. It's not really well-liked. Yeah. And the typical comment that you'll read of somebody who throws the splat tomato is that it's a terrible film. It's way overrated. You know, it basically dishing all the things that they don't like about it. Badly acted, badly directed, badly written. They just, because that's what people do. They go over the top on it. And when you read through them after a while, you read through a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. What you come to realize is what they're really saying is, I don't want a film like that.
Well, don't watch it.
I don't want a film, but it's an important point I'm making here. They're saying, I don't want a film that focuses on the idea that I have responsibility for how this world works. I don't want that film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the same thought process I have behind the way that I approach doing LOA today with, mm-hmm. with the others. Like, I don't do this podcast for the people who don't want it.
Right.
And there are a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
There are a whole lot of people who don't want this podcast.
Right.
And the last thing I would want to do is to take the podcast and shove it onto their smartphone, you know, put their earbuds in their ears and say, you will listen to this or you will die. I mean, that's just not...
No, nobody wants that. No.
Nobody wants that, you know? Mm-hmm. But interestingly enough, people who want to save the world want exactly that.
Mm.
They want you to put on those earbuds and listen to that. I mean, I've actually had people who have recommended films or books or mm-hmm. something along that line mm-hmm. that they really, really, really wanted me to read or to hear or watch or listen to.
Yeah.
Which was their way of saying, you should do this. This is important. Do what I want you to do.
Right. Be on the same mind track as I am.
Yes. Otherwise, you're not a good enough person. Which they don't actually say. They don't actually say that. You know. But
yeah, but it's implied.
Yeah, it's implied. And they don't realize that never works.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it has a 100% failure rate.
It does. It does. But it also helps you weed people out of your life that you don't want.
Well, this is true.
If that's what you don't prefer. I'm like, if you don't like Supernatural, then we can't be friends, bottom line. That's just, I mean, if you're willing to accept that it is in my world, that's fine enough for me.
And that's what I do because, I mean, I don't even know the show. The only thing I know about it is what you've told me about it.
Right.
You know, so.
That's good enough for me. Okay. The people who are like, really trying to hate, like, oh, it's going to end. Well, this is before it actually ended. It's going to end this year. It couldn't have gone 15 seasons, blah, blah, blah. And it's such a horrible show. And don't you know this? And don't you know that? And I'm like, why do you hate so hard? Like, who's feeding you haterade in the morning? What is with your life?
Well, there it is. Now you're touching on what I was trying to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
That there are people out there who not only don't want what it is you're selling. Don't want what it is that you're liking. But they will go out of their way to demonstrate that they don't want it to the point of hating on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think people like living in drama.
Yes.
I really do.
Yep.
Which, by the way, was a major eye-opener for me.
Mm-hmm.
Big eye-opener. I thought that drama was something that we went to the theater to watch on stage because, you know, we would never actually have it in our lives.
Bro.
That's what I thought when I was growing up. That's
cute thought.
But it's true. That's what I thought. It was a slap in the face when I thought that really isn't the case at all.
So when reality shows became a thing, how did you handle that?
Well, by that time I'd figured it out.
Right, right.
So
okay.
I just didn't watch them.
Right. Okay.
Well, that's not entirely true. I wanted to find out what a reality show was because I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I actually watched one. Well, no, that's not true. I did watch one. Which one was it? Oh, God, I can't remember. It made a big impact on me, you can tell.
Obviously.
But I watched, it didn't take long. I think it was like 2 minutes, and yeah. I was done. Because I could tell what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, of course, Louise watches some of them. I was like watching, like, The Little Couple, for instance.
Okay, okay.
I was watching the kids, you know, because it was
yeah.
I have to admit, the kids are adorable. They really
are.
You know, but I think, you know, what my first thing was that convinced me I don't like reality shows.
What was it?
Was, and this is true for all of them, they do a scene in the show, and mm-hmm. then they have a cameo interviewing the people talking about the scene they just did in the show.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why do we need the cameo? What, I didn't get it the first time?
Well, you got to know how they feel about the situation they just went through.
It was pretty obvious how they felt. I mean, they weren't hiding their feelings during the actual...
No, they don't hide their feelings, but at the same time, like, there's little pieces of background information.
See, that's way too much minutiae for me. I just can't.
I understand, because I know how you roll. I know how you roll. You're a very simple man, and you don't like it convoluted.
Yeah, but that ties into the drama thing.
Yes, it does.
People love drama.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about, for instance, our 42-year-old pregnant friend.
Yep.
Everything about what she's described there says she loves drama. She Super loves dramatic. Living the drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love watching drama, which is why I was like, oh, let me let's see. Was it? She starts us off with, I'm 42 and pregnant. I was like, oh, let me see what's going on here.
There are marketing copywriters who are looking for a headline that strong.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, let's see more.
Yes, right. See more.
I never usually click see more, but today I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And once you realize that people like the drama, well, first of all, that's how I realized pretty early on, I don't want to answer a post like that unless there's a question in it.
Yes, yes.
Because all they're really doing is saying, participate in my drama.
Yeah, basically.
And that's why I love alone. Drama, you know.
Right. That's why I left it alone, because I felt like, you're asking for people's personal opinions on your life without giving us all the details. And everyone's personal opinions are way different. Like, someone's going to tell you to have an abortion. Someone's going to tell you to put this baby up for adoption. Someone's going to tell you to fake the pregnancy or whatever and try to get the baby's daddy back, or, you know, all types of stupid stuff. So I was just like, no.
I think it's actually, by the way, you just went mute. I think it's actually more than that. You're right, that people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they really want is they want you to be part of their drama.
Yes, yes.
They want more actors.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Fill out the cast.
Exactly. They want to, I'm not saying she's trolling, but at the same time, low-key she is. She's like...
Absolutely she is.
I need more people's opinions so now I can argue with people online. Because I need to take my mind off of this situation by talking about this situation.
Which is the flawed argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that she's going to take her mind off of it by taking her mind off of it by talking about it.
Right, right.
I mean, just stating that way hurts my brain.
It does, right? It's like, oh, what are we doing in life? Oh, my God.
I think that's why I was able to take to the law of attraction theory fairly quick. for mm-hmm. somebody who, because I was always a very rational, very logical person. That's mm-hmm. hard for that kind of person to buy into LOA theory, because LOA theory is spiritual. You can't even prove half of it.
Right.
It's just, what do you believe? Mm-hmm. And tapping into the internal feelings and so forth. And that has nothing to do with being able to prove anything logically or rationally. So mm-hmm. it's a big leap for somebody like that. But the fact that I just didn't want the drama made it easy for me.
Mm.
Instead, I just wanted to get quickly to, okay, so how does this stuff work?
Right.
And once I was asking that question, then it was just, well, do I like what I'm hearing or not?
Yeah.
At that point, it was quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After that, the hard part was learning how to do it.
Yeah. So how do you feel producing a drama for someone who doesn't like drama?
It's a catch 22.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, there's a very good reason why I asked you to be a scriptwriter.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Because I'm all about the drama. Drama here, drama there.
I want somebody to write the script who actually likes writing drama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that I'm incapable of it.
Yeah.
It's just I don't really enjoy it. It's not
fun. Right.
I like mapping it out. That's what you and I do. We'll mm-hmm. kind of map out what the next few episodes are, and then you take it and you write it all up.
Yep.
And I like that. That to me is a great role for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to have to go further than that.
Yeah.
So how do I feel about helping to create a drama? That's how I feel about it. Literally, okay. I feel like, what parts do I feel like I want to do? Because I do want to get the drama out there, because I understand mm-hmm. and appreciate how if we can put the drama together in a way that appeals to the audience we're trying to reach out to, they're going to mm-hmm. like it, they're going to want to listen to it, they're going to want to become regular listeners. And in doing that, we're going to be able to help them understand some stuff perhaps they didn't understand before without actually sitting them in a classroom and saying, well, okay, lesson number three.
Yeah, exactly. Without putting it on the chalkboard, this is a lesson for the day.
Yeah. Because, quite honestly, people love listening to stories in order to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the number one way that people
learn. There's a large percent of the population that is a very learn how not to do by other people's mistakes
mm-hmm.
type of people. I am one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to do that.
There's also an even larger section of the population that makes the same mistakes as the people in the story.
Yes. And they're like, deja vu, this looks familiar.
Yes, right. And that's where sympathy comes into it, because they're sympathetic to the characters of the drama.
Yeah, no. That's what boyfriend was saying to me the other day. I forget what I was watching, Real Housewives of Atlanta. And he goes, how do you watch this stuff?
Well, I have the same question. How do you watch this stuff? I mean,
because
I can't watch
the drama is over there. It's not in my life. So it's like I need a little bit, just a little bit of tea, but I don't like warm beverages. So that's how I that's how I handle it.
Interesting metaphor there. Okay.
Thank you.
Now,
it's something that, like, if it gets to be too much, I can turn it off. It's not in my actual life where I have to deal with the stress of it.
Okay. Well, I can see that, but that kind of leads into my question. How do you know that you haven't already gotten too much before you've gotten too much? Because by the time you realize
it, if I start feeling sympathetic, that's when I know I've gotten too much.
Okay, but at that point,
when the characters become real to me, that's when I'm like, oh my God, I feel so bad. Let me follow you on Instagram to see how your life is going when you're not on camera. That's when I know it's too much.
Okay. But now you're already watching the part that's too much. That's my question. Why are you watching the part that's already too much? I mean, you need to...
It's entertaining.
I think you need a way... Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
So even though it's too much, you're still watching.
It's not too much for me, though. I can handle a lot.
And that's how a lot of this stuff happens. I think what you're describing there is a very nice blurring of the lines. Blurring mm-hmm, of the lines mm-hmm. is what happens.
Yeah.
We kind of blur the lines, and it justifies going a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further. Until
I mean, to
all
me, it's the same thing as watching a regular TV drama. Like, it's just the characters are real people in real life as opposed to actors portraying these real people in real life.
Right. What you're describing is often called suspending the disbelief.
Yes. Exactly.
So you feel like they're actually people you know.
I mean, as far as I know, they're celebrities and they're in real life. Yes, I know them, but I don't know them.
No, but I mean the characters.
Oh, the characters? Yes, I can definitely feel for the characters.
You know the characters.
Yeah, especially when you've been watching a show for 15 years. Yeah, you definitely know the characters. Yeah,
you feel like they're your friend or something. Like
Right.
If they were gone, you would notice that the friend is gone.
Yes, I'm having a hard time with them leaving. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why I'm glad they let us know a year. They knew what kind of fandom they had. They let us know a year in advance that this is the last season. They weren't just going to spring us on us and be like, bye. And mm-hmm. we're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That was the last episode ever? They knew better. They knew we'd flip out. They would riot in the streets.
I'm going to watch this series sometime just so I can see what...
You really, really should, though. It's really good. It's really good.
Which of the networks or services is it on?
CW.
CW, okay. All right. Now I have to find where CW is on cable. I have never located it.
I mean, I can tell you, but it depends on your cable system. You're in Connecticut. I'm in Mass. It's the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I can find it.
Google it. You'll be fine.
No, it's easier than that. You just tell the remote, you know, tune me into whatever it
true.
Is.
True. Very true.
Name it, and it shows
yep.
up.
Yep.
So. Well, do you think we basically tore that issue apart enough?
I think we did. But that brings us back to how we got to the subject of situationships. And what is a situationship?
Well, why don't you define the term, first of all? Because that's not a typical term you find in your Merriam-Webster.
Merriam-Webster. No, it's not. It probably will be eventually because everything that turns into, you know, like, what was the last thing they added that it was like, really? I think it was Bootylicious or something like that. And I was like, really? Okay. That just goes to show.
They take their time. You know,
they do.
They don't assume that it's a word until it's actually, you know, gained some
traction. Yeah. But things are moving a little quicker with hashtags. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so situationship is basically a relationship that you're in, friendship, relationship, whatever, where one person is getting something out of the relationship, whether it be positive or negative, that it's only, they're getting one thing out of that relationship. And it's not like a regular friendship or relationship where you get all the things, you know, good or bad. It's just you need something from that person, and that's the only reason you're there.
I think they call that adolescence.
Wow! Coming in hot.
I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not.
Oh, okay. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you're an adolescent, everything is boiled down to one very simple thing, and that's all mm-hmm. you want is that one very simple thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's just life in general when you think about it, because even in infancy... Like, I'm really using you for your formula. Like, that's all I'm here for.
Okay.
Think about it.
I'm not sure like physical, where to go with it.
Physical infant formula, not like a formula like plan. Like, formula. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm just here crying for formula.
Okay.
So, it's a situationship.
All right. So, I guess you could say that a situationship is where the person in the situation is very, very focused.
Yeah. Definitely.
On what they like and want.
On what they need.
They're focused. Doesn't matter. They're focused. They're vibrating to it. It's there.
Yep.
You can call it, call it a like, call it a preference, call it a need. I don't care what you call it. Just call it late for lunch. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But seriously, that's what that is. It's a high degree of focus. And there's a lot to be said for a high degree of focus.
If you use it in a good way, yeah.
Well, good is what's good for you.
Mm.
What do you like?
True.
What do you prefer? That's
true.
What's good.
Because mm-hmm.
that's the other thing I've learned. There's no such thing as good and bad. There's no such thing as right and wrong. There really isn't. There's only...
Yeah, it's all personal opinion, actually, when you
think
about it.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That combined with, if you don't behave the way I want you to behave, then you're hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most ridiculous argument in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we won't go there. Well, that's a whole conversation by itself, too.
Facts.
But yeah, from what you're describing, situationship, it has a potentially a very good side. It's one of those things, it's like any tool. It depends on how you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you using it to
mm-hmm.
focus on what you like, or are you focusing on what you don't like? Because I suspect that what you're describing the term for is situations where people are focusing really on what they don't like, or the absence of what they don't like.
So, for an example... I'm not going to say who the person in my life is, but they are a hobosexual, which is a word I created. And what I mean by a hobosexual, which means they use situationships to create homes for themselves out of relationships. So they'll date someone just to live with someone so they don't have to provide their own roof over their head.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I've known people like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never had that word for them, but yeah, that's a good name.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. So that's a situationship based on the fact that you prefer not to be homeless.
I would call him a hobo sapien, but either way, it works.
Well, no, because you're in the sexual relationship, so to have a roof over your head.
Yeah, but there are also people who they don't limit themselves to a sexual relationship in order to make that happen.
No, they don't. You're right. You're right.
So that's why we just brought.
But
it.
I was just using my example as a situationship type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I can think of a number of people like that.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're out there.
Interesting thing too is it's a great case of what do you focus on? What do you focus your attention on? Because when I run into somebody like that, I never focus any attention on them, and they don't stay very long.
Facts.
that's one of the ways that I was able to rationalize for myself that law of attraction really works.
Mm-hmm.
Because I recognized there were times where there were situations or people that others have dealt with that I never deal with, and I asked myself why, and I said, well, easy, I never focus any attention on them.
Right.
I won't give them the time of day.
Mm-hmm. We're not time for that.
No time for it, no interest in it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, it's just, why would I want to mess around with that? But clearly there are other people who do, otherwise they wouldn't succeed in getting their places to sleep at night, you know.
Well, they create a false sense of security and make it look like an actual relationship, so. That's why I said the situationship is one person getting what they need.
Mm. So a situationship is not a reciprocated need.
It can be if you lay it out in the beginning, like, all right, this is just a situationship. This is not a relationship. It can be, you know, the other person could be looking for the same type of thing. Where they don't want a full relationship, but it's nice to have someone around. And if you need a couple things from me, cool, fine.
So is that like a friends with benefits kind of a situation?
It can be, yeah. Friends with benefits is definitely a situationship.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking me some time to kind of get used to the concept because it's not one that I would normally think about. But
no, it wouldn't be in your wheelhouse. No, I
not really.
Think so.
No, no. That's not, no,
no,
not one of my strengths.
No, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, you have to think about these things when you're writing a serial.
Yep. You know? Definitely do. You definitely do.
Because now I'm asking myself, okay, well, what are the situationships in The Grass is Greener? And there are some.
What is a situationship? Well, Ron is a situationship all by his damn self.
Well, he's kind of got some exceptions to it, too, because he also connects with Lana.
Right. Right. I don't think he meant to do that on purpose, though.
You think that was inadvertent?
Because when you're in a situationship, you're not trying to have any connections where people would get hurt if they got left behind.
And yet, he still ends up doing it because, well, we can say this now because the second episode is out. There's that one part in the scene where they're at the casting call, and Nance takes a phone call and has to go off because there's drama at the school.
But I don't think he really cared, though. I think he's just using that as a way to get back in conversation or to test the temperature of the conversation.
Then we got to tell that to Joe Dannis because Joe, who plays Ron, played it like he was really concerned.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about him because he lets the audience leave it up to themselves to decide which way is he trying to go.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
He's a very good actor, no doubt about
it. He is.
Did you notice, though, that we have a really funny irony going on?
What? That because Joe's married and Ron Dannis is...
Yeah.
Ron.
But also that Joe is straight and Mark, who's played by Dylan, Mark is gay.
Yeah.
So Mark is played by a straight man and Ron is played by a gay man. And there's like this thing going, like, okay, this is confusing. I can just see.
This is acting.
This is the acting. Talk show host sitting on the couch saying, so wait, which one do you play?
Right. Right. Oh my God. I loved Dylan's reaction when we're like, oh, by the way, Mark is gay. And he's like, well, kick off those red bottoms. I died. I was like, all right. Top-notch actors in this bitch. I love it.
And people who are wondering what we're talking about, you're going to have to listen to the second episode. Because this one scene will make it all clear what we're talking about.
Yep, exactly.
But the part that you can't hear in the scene is like what you were talking about just now, Alex, that mm-hmm. while we're doing the recording of it,
yeah, you
know, Dylan is just kind of rolling with a punch. He's just like, okay, right, here we go.
He's like, not a problem, moving on.
It was excellent. It was true.
Oh, man. Good. Yeah, definitely some good acting going on.
And I just realized we kind of... You know, winged by it, but we should be announcing the second episode is out.
Oh, true. Yeah, by the way, guys.
Yeah. I mean, we actually published it yesterday, but the second episode is out. It's published. It's on YouTube. It's in the podcast feed. So mm-hmm. If you're not yet subscribed, hey, that's what we should do. We should do a little subscription promo, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should.
So if you're not subscribed, well, first of all, subscribe to LOA Today. If you're not doing that, then, you know, we're definitely not connecting here.
But, right.
You know, that's simple. Go to loatoday.net's webpage, and you'll be able to do it right there. But for The Grass is Greener, you just kind of tack something on there. It's thegrassisgreener.loatoday.net, and that's where you
can simple.
So it's really pretty simple, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So subscribe to the podcast, and you can also find us on YouTube by searching for The Grass is Greener podcast.
Yes. But make sure the podcast part is in there, because when you type in The Grass is Greener, you got to through a whole slew
of
every video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting in the word podcast definitely qualifies it. You'll show up
in
the top five there.
Right.
Yeah. And I've also, I don't know if I told you, I've hooked them together in a playlist. So you start playing the first one, it jumps you right to the second one when you're
nice.
Done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. You know, try to make it as easy for people.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So now that the episode is out, I don't want to put too many spoilers in because I do want people to listen to it.
Right.
But I want to ask you, how did it come out from your perspective? What do you think?
Loved it.
You loved it?
Loved it.
Yeah?
Yes.
I think we got it pretty good. Technically, I mean, I was working on the technical side because I do the sound part.
And I think the technical side, oh my God, we have like stepped our game up so much from the first episode.
It is. It's a big step up.
And then Charlie... I can't with him. I cannot. Our host, stop it all the way. I had missed something that he had said. He had said something about Nancy's calling her best friend, and she better be.
She better be, right.
Okay, Charlie.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's like, calling 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And her friend is actually in Florida while she's in California, which means it's actually 2 a.m. So, yeah, she better be.
Yeah, exactly.
You nailed that one.
When you tell that man to ad-lib, just watch
He's
out.
Good. He is really good. I especially like the ad-lib he did where you have the meeting. Let's see. Is it the meeting in the principal's office?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, it's the studio. It's the casting hall.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he finishes up by saying, "We need a program to follow this now."
Yeah, I love that one.
That was great.
When I knew he was a gem was when we were doing the live recordings, and he was talking about how Ron in the first episode when we were talking about how Ron went out to get flowers and wine.
Yes,
like he should have just stopped off at the highway and got a bottle of Mad Dog 2020. I was like, I'm done. I don't even need to write this guy anymore. I'm done. I'm literally just going to put host, ad-lib.
And it worked. The only thing, he kind of didn't do an ad-lib at the end, which kind of surprised me.
I know I don't think, because we literally have to put in ad-lib, otherwise we won't do it.
No, well, the word ad-lib was in there.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, but what he came up with is, you know, tune in next time to find out what happens.
Yeah, okay.
He kind of left it kind of lame there. I was like, really? Wow, that's not the Charlie I'm used to.
Yeah. Well, now we'll tell him he has free reign.
Yeah.
We'll pick what we like.
It won't take much.
No, doesn't take much.
Just basically one nudge and he's there.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But, the big, you mentioned that the sound took a step up. The big deal there is that I remembered that we have stereo. Because the first episode was basically all mono.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so everybody is standing right in the middle of the stage. Mm-hmm. They're all piled on top of each other.
Right. You know?
And I realized, wait a minute, I got a whole stage to work with here. So I put this voice over here and that voice over there. And then this mm-hmm. voice is walking over there and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah. You know? So now that we had some dimensionality going on. That plus we also, I realized that we had been using MP3 before that. And MP3 mm-hmm. has a tendency to distort particularly female voices.
Mm-hmm.
And when we record, fortunately, we don't record in MP3. So I went back to the original recordings. I actually redid episode two. I did episode two the first time. You heard that. And then I mm-hmm. redid it the second time because I recognized that we had a lot of distortion going on.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to the original performances, pull out the originals, run them through in a way that wouldn't create the distortion, and that mm-hmm. made the sound a lot stronger. It was really, really
nice. Nice.
Plus, it had, remember how, and listeners may have noticed this, with some of the voices, it sounded like they were in an echo chamber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them, we deliberately had them in an echo chamber.
Right.
That's how we do an aside. But some places where they were just in regular dialogue, it was like they were in an echo chamber. And they literally are, because they're recording.
Which kind of, it kind of worked for us, because there was a lot of on-phone conversations in yeah. the first episode. So it worked with us, but at the same time, second episode was a lot of in-person, so it would have yeah. worked against us. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was interfering with it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that the MP3 was accentuating that.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how MP3 compresses it. It does things with the higher end of the sound, and the mm-hmm. higher end of the sound is where it's going to sound like you got a room echo going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, sure enough, I pulled out the original recordings from episode two and re-edited the whole thing, and the room echo was cut by like 60-70%. It's still there in a few cases if you really mm-hmm. listen for it, but I'm hoping that suspension of disbelief will actually let people not notice it.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
So, yeah, good stuff. So, let's see. We did our promos. Did we tell people about subscribing on YouTube?
We did not.
So, why don't you do that part?
Okay. So, what you want to do is you go to YouTube and type in LOA Today podcast videos. And once you see our smiling faces, you can go down below, click the red subscribe button. And next to the red subscribe button, there is a silver bell. Click that silver bell. Make sure you hit all so you will always be notified when we're live.
And you can also do the same thing with the Grass is Greener podcast, too.
Yes. Definitely subscribe to the Grass is Greener podcast also.
Same method.
Yes.
Nothing changes there.
Nothing changes.
And we don't have enough time, like there's only like 2 or 3 minutes left, but I realized I hadn't been paying a whole lot of attention to the live streamers, and Jeffrey posted something really, really interesting in the live stream that would take an entire show to do. He says, can you imagine trying to apply LOA to Jerry Springer's guests?
Oh! Okay, so next Tuesday, Jeffrey, come back with us.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole show right there.
Jerry Springer, LOA.
I mean, it's almost redundant.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because, I mean, the whole thing is LOA.
Oh, my God.
And it's wear it on your sleeve, LOA.
Yeah, it is.
You know, if you don't notice the LOA, you basically are blind, deaf, and dumb. Mm-hmm. You just mm-hmm. turned it off.
Yeah. Later in his years, as he did try to, like, incorporate it a little bit into his, like, at the end of the show, he would do a little speech.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, he's nice and he actually cares. But it's like, who's writing this for you, sir?
Jerry Springer is actually a really nice person.
He's a really nice person.
He's a caring person. I don't know why he got into doing that little racket that he did. It worked very well for him, so that's why he didn't stop.
He said it was the money.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Can't argue with that at all.
He made a lot of money doing that
mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
was very successful doing that. But I also have to wonder, and maybe this is part of our conversation on Tuesday, does that take something out of you to keep doing that?
That's what he said.
He did.
Maury Povich also said the same thing, because really? You know, his wife's an interviewer.
Yeah.
So she asked him, she interviewed him and asked him the same thing. But we'll talk about that on Tuesday.
All right. Well, you got the note, right? So we're going to
I got it written down right here.
All right. Good stuff. Anything more that you want to share about TV spoilers or anything like that?
Lot more reboots are coming up this, and I got to say this season, but definitely within the next two seasons. Walker, Texas Ranger's coming back.
Wow.
There's a show. Yeah. Jared Padalecki from Supernatural will be playing Walker, Texas Ranger. They're taking a lot of shows that got canceled and giving them a second chance. And I'm like, some of them should just lay where they were, but you do you. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah. It's one of those things, depending on what it is that you're trying to reboot, you're
right.
taking a risk.
Right.
You know, like I thought they were daring to reboot Mary Poppins. It didn't really work.
But I
gave them a lot of credit because
they tried.
If it hadn't been that there was a previous Mary Poppins, that would have been a decent movie. It's
that's
just,
true.
It was a previous Mary Poppins, and that's what everybody was going to compare it to.
Yeah, exactly.
So unless they came up with something that just blew the formula out of the water and turned it into something at the complete next level, they weren't going to succeed.
Well, they did that with Dynasty. They brought Dynasty back, but they brought it back for, like, my generation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, it's a whole nother... I don't know. I can't say because I've never seen the first Dynasty, but my mother has explained it to me, and she's like, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's just for millennials. That's all it is.
Well, that works because Dynasty is essentially a dress-it-up soap opera.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do that because soap mm-hmm. operas are eternal.
Facts.
You know, but Mary Poppins isn't a soap opera.
No, that's a classic.
And that's
but the same thing with Aladdin. Aladdin was a classic, and true. Look what they did with that.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yep.
But also with same thing with Dumbo. Dumbo didn't come out so well.
Well, to be honest, Dumbo didn't come out so well the first time. But
Itch, that's true. But, okay, Lion King then.
It was great for a four-year-old.
Mm.
Dumbo was wonderful if you were a four-year-old.
Right, right.
It really was.
Talk about suspending the disbelief.
Yeah, well, you're doing your best at doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, well, that's also for another show. But next time we'll do the Jerry Springer thing. That's going to be a good topic.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Really good. Yes, thank you very much. So, and I can't just thank live streamer Jeffrey, all the live streamers. Thank you to the podcast listeners, too, because without them, we wouldn't have a podcast. And we have more of them than ever before. We thank you
Yes, of course, because we keep growing.
It keeps growing, and it makes it more wonderful. So thank you so much. And thank you, Alex.
Talk
to you
again
next Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Let me know what's coming up with episode 3 as you're working on it, okay?
Shenanigans.
Uh-oh, here we go. It's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Catch you guys later. We'll see you all later next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.